Carson, host of Ours Future in NASCAR, NFL playoff predictions, and more. You're listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation. Happy Thursday, happy NFL playoffs, and happy 38 days until the Daytona 500. Wherever you're listening, I just want to thank you for joining us today. Nick Saban, to my utmost surprise, and to what I believe to probably be the general public's surprise, announced his retirement yesterday. He's a complete legend of the college game, and he won't be on the sideline this upcoming fall. 7 national titles, one of the best programs to have a gateway to an NFL career. Take a look at guys like Julio Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Jonathan Allen, and a plethora of coaches who have worked under him are still around today. Taking a look at Dan Quinn, Kirby Smart, Jason Garrett, Lane Kiffin, just to name a few. You can't even mention Alabama football without mentioning Nick Saban. Look, for now, all I want to say is fans are going to miss you, Alabama will miss you, and college football as a whole will miss you. Nick, enjoy your retirement. Some relaxation is well-deserved after all you've done for the sport. Shane Van Gisbergen officially signed his contract with Trackhouse Racing to race in the Cup Series part-time. And I caught something a little bit interesting in the Instagram post, specifically for the people who enjoy seeing different kind of paint schemes. Justin Marks, Trackhouse owner, had posted a picture of SVG signing his contract on his Instagram story. And in that picture, SVG was wearing a Red Bull hat. That may not come as any surprise to a whole lot of people. Shane Van Gisbergen has a personal sponsorship with Red Bull. But I was kind of tickled at the fact that Justin Marks also tagged Red Bull on this post. We already know that SVG will be sponsored by WeatherTech for most of those races, and obviously they have a Team Chevy tag on there as well. But no announcement has been made about Red Bull being a major partner on the NASCAR side of things for Van Gisbergen. That being said, I think it kind of spells it out clear as day that Red Bull will continue to be a major partner for SVG. And maybe the coolest part of all this is I think Red Bull makes an appearance for the first time since 2011 when they left the sport when Red Bull Racing closed. I think they're going to make a return as a primary sponsor. Not a whole lot of races, and it's not huge news. It may come as a surprise for many people, but I think it's going to be awesome if we do, and I think we will, get to see Red Bull as a primary sponsor again. Me personally, I'm kind of hoping for kind of a throwback look, throw the navy or silver scheme back on from Red Bull Racing back in the day, but we'll see what happens. The Daytona 500, the great American race, most NASCAR fans' favorite races. 40 cars, 200 laps. Most of the time, it's checkers or wreckers at the end. Classic super speedway racing. One of the 40 drivers, who I personally think is a dark horse to win the 500, is Carson Hocevar. Signed a contract with Spire Motorsports. We'll see him pilot the number 77 Ziegler Auto Group Chevy Camaro and drive full-time for him this year. You know, when Carson Hocevar first signed his contract with Spire, I couldn't believe some of the other teams needing drivers passed on him, to be honest. 9 appearances in 2023, an average finish of 24th, qualified a bit better with an average of 23, but raced really well for a driver that's only driven in the Truck Series so far. I mean, shoot, his best finish is 11th, and that's with the Legacy Motor Club 42. And we're now hearing a couple days ago that LMC only had what they're calling a Tier 3 partnership with Chevy. So for all intents and purposes, Carson Hocevar had bottom-of-the-barrel equipment when he was driving that 42 car. And he drove the wheels off of it, in my opinion, far exceeded expectations, outdrove that equipment. And to me, that's a driver I look at and I'm going, give me that guy. I'm trying to go out and get a driver like that. Get that guy. I look at teams like Stewart Haas Racing, who seem to be on a downward slope. Tony Stewart's come out and said, if you don't believe in us, you don't know us. But for now, it looks like they're on a downward slope. Front Row Motorsports can't decide who to build the 38 team with. I looked at Carson Hocevar and I say, there's a driver I can build for the long-term future. You know, but the more I sit and think about Hocevar and Spire, the more I think about this contract, the more I think it's genius. I think it's the best for his development. Listen, Spire's performance keeps getting better and better year in and year out, especially with Corey LaJoie in the 7 car. And like I said, with Stewart Haas on what's believed to be a downward slope, I thought maybe Roush Fenway Keselowski would get a third charter in there. They don't. They have a part-time 60 car that's going to run a few races. But without them having a third charter, with Stewart Haas on a slope, with Front Row having their driver locked up right now, for the time being, this is probably the best place for Carson Hocevar. And it's not just the fact that this could possibly be the best seat available for him. I think it's the best move for Carson Hocevar's future in general. I don't think Hocevar is going to be at Spire for very long. And I think a lot of that is because of the pure talent he has. And eventually, I'm thinking the offseason of 2026, the rest of the big-name NASCAR teams are going to see that as well. Alex Bowman has had a couple of interesting seasons at Hendrick Motorsports. Went winless last year. And he's the only driver not to at least make the championship four out of all of his teammates. Chase Elliott, championship winner in 2020. Kyle Larson, championship winner in 2021. William Byron, 2023 championship four driver. The only outlier in all of this is that 48 car. It's Alex Bowman. Zero championship four appearances. And I don't think it's a secret that Rick Hendrick wants all of his cars in the championship four, and if you can't do that for him, you'll be out of a ride. Bowman is only extended through 2026. He's got a little bit of time left, but I wouldn't be surprised if, come 2026, if he's not making the championship four performance or post two or more win seasons, I think HMS starts to look towards, guess who? Hocevar to take over that 48 car. I think Ally, who's extended through 2028 with Hendrick Motorsports, would tag along with Hocevar and sponsor him. I do think Hocevar would bring the Ziegler Auto Group sponsorship with him, so he brings money with him. And you'll have 2 years to develop and 2 years to watch him develop at another Chevrolet team, so you have the manufacturer alliance there, and they'll have seen what kind of talent Hocevar is. On top of that, I think by that point, everybody's kind of going to be wondering what Hocevar can do in top-tier equipment. And for the record, I'm not saying Alex Bowman's entire career is on the rocks. He'll definitely find a place in the sport. If he's not performing, though, it's not going to be with Hendrick Motorsports. They'll be over his lack of playoff performance. And they'll be on to Carson Hocevar, who I think could fall seamlessly into the program there, start performing at a higher level pretty quickly into his tenure there, and it'll bring them bigger and better things. The NFL regular season is over, folks. A few nail biters at the end of the regular season. We're talking Buffalo and Miami, Rams and Niners, Seahawks and Cardinals, all of which had some kind of influence on the playoffs. But we're on to the postseason. And that means prediction time. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to have an overall prediction for the playoffs, which we'll do today. And then we'll go week by week until the Super Bowl, unless my bracket is 100% correct, which everybody wishes for, but we'll see what happens. Everyone at that point can point out where I was right on the money or where I went terribly wrong. You guys can laugh at me. Feel free to write these down at home. Follow along with me. Let's have some fun. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the AFC matchups, and we'll move on to the NFC after. Starting with the wild card round for the AFC, Browns at Texans. Hate to say it, guys. CJ Stroud-led season comes to an end here. In all honesty, for the Texans fans, though, the fantasy's just begun. I think he's going to be something huge for the league. I'm not going to make it any secret. C.J. Stroud should undoubtedly be the rookie of the year and deserves heavy, heavy consideration for the MVP award. But this Texans team is young. He's young. The Browns' defense is going to put pressure on him constantly. They're going to make him uncomfortable. Not only that, the Browns have Joe Flacco at quarterback right now, and while I might not trust him to make it far into the playoffs, I do trust him to get by a rookie-led, inexperienced Texans team and on to the next round. Not to mention, Joe Flacco's also thrown for 300-plus yards in his last four starts, and he's elevated David Njoku's game to an insane amount, and it just makes him another target that NFL teams have to worry about. So for this first game, I like the Flacco-led Browns here. On to the Dolphins at Chiefs. Time to be real, guys. Kansas City isn't the team that they used to be. They led the NFL in drops this season. Mahomes hasn't looked as mobile and has had several frustrating moments on the sideline there watching his team. But he's still Patrick Mahomes. He still has Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield. And Miami has injuries on both sides of the ball. Mostert and Waddle are both currently listed as questionable with some nagging injuries. If they don't play, Tyreek's not going to be able to do it alone, especially with the stellar season the Chiefs' defense has had. They lean on that defense really heavily. I think it's going to be a messy game. It's probably going to be the worst game on the AFC side of the playoffs this year, but Kansas City is going to pull it out in a close one. On to Pittsburgh at Buffalo. is there any kind of question here? Josh Allen and company are going to eat this Pittsburgh team alive. Buffalo's playing the best football they have all year. Pittsburgh ranked 17th against the pass this year. That's not going to be enough to stop the Bills' heavy air attack. Steelers defensive leader T.J. Watt is also out with a knee injury, and that's going to hurt them when Josh Allen goes to the ground and runs out of the pocket. Not to mention, Kenny Pickett hasn't seen any action in a few weeks due to injury, so I think he's going to be a little raw if he does play. Bills are going to take this one easily. Now on to the divisional round with the AFC. That leaves Cleveland at Baltimore. Rivalry matchup. This is going to be really fun. It's probably not going to be any contest, though. You remember how I said I don't trust Joe Flacco to lead the Browns far outside of the first round of the playoffs about 2 minutes ago? This is as far as I trust him to take them. The Ravens are head and shoulders the best team in the league right now, and Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback. I think Justice Hill is going to step up in the backfield, be the Robin to Lamar's Batman. Lamar has become a more adept passer of the football, and he's going to silence all his critics while proving that he's a long-term quarterback and a good one at that, franchise quarterback. Ravens are going to take this one. Kansas City at Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes breaking in new receivers and leaning hard on his defense. That's only going to get him so far. The NFL is an offensive league. Look at how many of the defensive side, the defensive coaches are out of a job right now. His lack of consistency with the Kansas City Chiefs receivers is going to be the end of them in the divisional round. It's going to be another nail biter for the Chiefs fans, but let me just give you the spoilers, save you from the drama. You don't have any heart attacks. But Buffalo is going to be too much for the Chiefs. No Arrowhead Stadium. They're on the road. No T-Swift magic. Kansas City falls here. That leaves the AFC Championship being the Bills at Ravens. And sorry, Josh Allen, your search for a Super Bowl is going to continue. Bills' offensive inconsistencies this season will be on full display in Baltimore. Lamar's going to rule the AFC this year and really show why he's a top five QB in this league. Josh Allen looked shaky in big moments multiple times this year. While I do believe he's going to deliver Buffalo a championship at some point, it's not going to be this year. Lamar and company are just too much. On to the NFC here. So again, we start with the wild card round, go divisional, go to the championship, and then we'll go to the Super Bowl. Eagles at Buccaneers. This is almost like a UFC title card here. Two former Oklahoma quarterbacks face off. Only one survives. Only time will tell. Baker Mayfield has done a decent season, or has had a decent season, taking over for the retired Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. He's had some flashes of brilliance, but decent isn't going to get you past the tush push. A.J. Brown is ranked 8th in receptions among all receivers this year. Devonta Smith is expected to return and play in this game. Jalen Hurts threw for almost 300 yards in their meeting with the Bucs earlier this season. I would expect this game to go a very similar way. I think it's going to be about a 2-touchdown margin there. Philadelphia is kind of going to run away with it by the end of the game. Eagles are going to push their tushes onto the next round. Going to the Rams at the Lions. Rams fans, every Lions fan was ecstatic to see Matthew Stafford win a Super Bowl. Even I was. But it's their turn now. Since trading Stafford, the Lions have turned their franchise around and stopped being looked at as a dysfunctional franchise, and instead could be a legitimate threat to win the NFC. It's kind of cool every time I see this to see teams swap quarterbacks, and it turns out to be a win-win trade for both sides. I love seeing the win-win trades. Happens in the NFL, happens in the NBA, happens in the MLB, and I love seeing it work out. So it was really cool to kind of see this happen between Detroit and LA with the Goff and Stafford trade. It's just Goff's turn this season. On top of that, Sam Laporta is expected to be ready to go by game day. That's a huge red zone X factor in my eyes for Detroit. Stafford and company is going to keep it close, but the Lions are going to come out on top. And our final prediction for the wild card round is Packers at Cowboys. This is another game where there shouldn't really be a question about who's going to take this. Dallas has debatably the best defense in the league, at least on paper. And Deron Bland has been lighting it up at cornerback, has the record for pick sixes. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best receivers in the league. And Dak Prescott is playing like an NFL MVP quarterback most of the time, despite the fact that that award probably goes to Lamar Jackson this year. Jordan Love has put up an impressive numbers during his first full season. In fact, they're almost identical to Aaron Rodgers' rookie year. That could spell great things for the Packers in the future. They always seem to get their quarterback position right and have these long-term quarterbacks that play for 10-plus years for them. But this week, sorry, Cheeseheads, your season comes to a close. On to the NFC divisional round here. Eagles at Niners. Kyle Shanahan, one of the smartest coaches in the league, and he's not going to get out-coached this week. Brock Purdy got a Super Bowl experience under his belt last year, and with the extra week of rest, almost all the players on the injury list, week 18 for the 49ers, are going to be back, which means they have the best roster, top to bottom, in the league. Eagles ranked 31st in pass defense, only better than the Commanders, and that's going to show against the likes of Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. There's no shortage of targets for Brock Purdy to throw to, and it's going to show, and it's really going to hurt Philadelphia. Healthy and well-rested 49ers team, and they're going to take this win. Last game of the divisional round, we got the Lions and Cowboys. Cowboys fans, be happy, rejoice, you hang on for another week here. Lions are great, but your defense wins you this one, as well as the receiving core. Detroit takes ranks in the bottom half of the league with pass defense at 27th, and the Cowboys have scored 36 passing touchdowns this year. 36, Dak Prescott, 36 passing touchdowns. That's going to hurt Detroit. That's going to be fun to watch for Dallas. Dallas ranks top 5 in pass defense. The Lions rely pretty heavily on their air attack for points as well. I think they had 30 passing touchdowns this season. It's going to be an extremely fun game to watch. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be really, really fun. Detroit is going to flex a little bit of what's to come in the future. Dallas takes it this year. Which brings up the NFC Championship. We got the Cowboys at the Niners. The biggest difference this year will be that the Cowboys make it 1 year farther before facing their downfall to the Niners. Dak Prescott's cracked under pressure at times this season. It looks like he gets tunnel vision. He decides who to throw to before he even snaps the ball, and he gets glued to him. With this being the biggest game of his career, I think it's going to happen again. I think he'll crack. Christian McCaffrey is going to obliterate the Cowboys on the ground. And George Kittle will continue to challenge Travis Kelce as the best tight end in the league. 49ers are also the second best offense in the league. Even though the Cowboys have a stellar defense, again, debatably the best on paper, they won't be able to lean on them this game. And Dak Prescott will leave the Cowboys fans disappointed yet another year. And that brings up Super Bowl 58. And that leaves us with the Ravens versus the 49ers. Congrats, John Harbaugh. You'll be the second Harbaugh to make a championship game this year. You have the Super Bowl. Your brother, Jim, has his college national championship. Unfortunately, though, you're not going to win yours. The Ravens did beat the 49ers in a rough way in Week 16. But I think the Niners are going to get revenge in Allegiant Stadium. Shanahan always has some creative plays up his sleeve. And while it didn't show in Week 16, I do think the Niners, again, a healthy Niners, have just enough to pull off the quote-unquote upset. I don't think it's very much of an upset if you have two number one seeds going into the championship game, but I can imagine the Ravens will be favored here. Both of these teams have elite offensive and defensive pieces, and it could be one of the most entertaining Super Bowls in recent memory. But I think the 49ers take it. It's my official pick for Super Bowl 58. There's my playoff predictions. Let's throw out a score to watch for the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be too terribly high scoring. Let's go 24-17. San Francisco puts all their chips on the table. Walk away with the pot in Vegas. We're just about a month away from the NBA trade deadline on February 8th, and things have already started to heat up. The Knicks and Raptors have already thrown down a hammer of a trade to lead the way this season, with the Knicks sending RJ Barrett, Isaiah Quickley, and a second-round pick to the Raptors for OG Anunoby, Malachi Flynn, and Precious Achiuwa. I think this is going to be one of the trades that I love. I think it's going to be a win-win situation for both sides. New York not only gets a guy in OG Anunoby, who is one of the premier defenders in the league, if not one of the best or top three perimeter defenders in the league, but a guy who can also put up 15 to 20 points a game on great efficiency. Toronto gets two young players to pair with Scotty Barnes and start a real nucleus to have a championship-contending franchise in future years. We all know that that's not going to be the only trade that happens come trade deadline. And what I want to do is I want to give you guys a heads up for a couple of big names that I'm going to be watching, and I want everybody else to watch as this month goes on. I got a couple of guys that I think are going to be on this trade block. Some of them might surprise you, but I'm just going to give out my top five here. Number one is Pascal Siakam. I don't think the Raptors are done with the trading this month. Pascal has been in trade rumors for the past 2 years, and I think since the Raptors unloaded on Anunoby, they're going to follow up with trading the big man. His ability to fit in the offense alongside Scotty Barnes has been a little shaky at times. He only shoots about 31% from three, so he leaves a little bit more to be desired in that department. And Scotty Barnes, in my opinion, is a bit better defensively than he is. So there's your franchise piece there. Siakam has also voiced in the past, speaking of franchise piece, that he wants to be the guy in Toronto. I don't think the front office shares a mutual interest with him, and I believe they'll move off of him this season. There's one team that I would really watch for this. I'm looking right at Golden State. They could use some help in the big man front. They're a little bit smaller in the front court and could use another guy who can stretch the floor. Other than that, I think the Hawks would be a good suitor for him as well. Get Trae Young some extra help down low, and possibly grab DeJounte Murray in that move, but we'll have to wait and kind of see what comes of it. Number two is Zach LaVine. This is another guy who can't really seem to keep his name out of trade rumors. Let's face it, Bulls fans, folks, everyone, the LaVine, DeRozan, and Vucevic experiment really didn't work out the way they wanted it to. It's time to clean slate before DeRozan and Vucevic lose what value they can have for you. While I do think all three of them get traded, I think LaVine is really the main focus right now. He's got the highest value of the three. Vucevic and DeRozan are going towards the moonlight of their career. I think they're considered more veteran presence than a number one option, regardless of where they go. So I think LaVine's got the highest value there. This is a guy that I think LeBron and the Lakers would love to have. But if you're not willing to come off of Austin Reeves, and I think they're not, a three-team trade has to be the option there. I don't quite see that happening. That's just something I'll have to sit on and wait, watch, and see. I don't see a three-team trade going down because D'Angelo Russell has to be in that move, and I don't think he carries the trade value to kind of swing this trade in the right direction for the Lakers. I would keep a close eye on the Miami Heat as well. I don't see Donovan Mitchell becoming available at this season, and that's the guy we keep hearing. Oh, the Heat are monitoring Donovan Mitchell. The Heat are watching Donovan Mitchell's situation in Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland trades Donovan Mitchell. I think this year, with Donovan Mitchell not becoming available at trade deadline, I think they're going to choose to act before their championship window closes as well. You'll have a nice guard who can kind of help Kyle Lowry bring the ball up the floor. And a guy who can put up some more points, be a secondary scorer next to Jimmy Butler. But act before your championship window closes. This is a Miami team that I want to see win a championship, and I think it would be really sad if they just continue to stay stagnant where they're at. Number three, bit of a smaller name here, Bojan Bogdanović. Guys, the Detroit Pistons are a dumpster fire. I can't tell whether they're deliberately tanking for the number one pick, try to get the number one pick, or if they're truly this bad of a team. And if they are, in that case, I'm knocking down the doors to the front office and I'm pointing at everybody and I'm going, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Clean out the front office as well as everything else. Bojan is a nice 3-and-D wing who can be a plug-and-play guy just about anywhere. He's efficient from three at 39%, shoots 40% from the field. Guess who needs a guy like that right now? The Memphis Grizzlies, after making a colossal mistake of letting Dylan Brooks walk in free agency. They're hurt defensively. His perimeter defense is not there. And the shooting, you can always use more shooting in this league. Not to mention, they need what they can get right now. Ja Morant, Steven Adams, both out for the season. Ja was back for all of, 10 games? So you need what you can get in that sense. So I think watch for the Grizzlies to kind of make a move for a 3-and-D wing, especially a guy like Bojan Bogdanović, with the Pistons really struggling there. Number four is DeMar DeRozan. This is another guy who should be departing Chi-Town soon. Again, the experiment didn't work. Chicago's going to get what they can for him. The only problem is, I think he's more of a veteran at this point. So there's not going to be a whole lot of teams that are begging to add DeRozan to a roster. Even if he is considered a veteran, he's an extremely good one at that. I just don't think people are going to look to have him be a centerpiece of a franchise. This is another guy the Lakers would love to have. I think a deal for DeRozan can actually get done without giving too much up. Other than the Lakers, watch the Sacramento Kings. This one kind of comes out of nowhere. But I think DeRozan's veteran leadership can be the missing piece that can really push this young Kings team from a deep playoff push to a legitimate championship threat. And our last guy for this evening, number five, or for this afternoon, number five, is Malcolm Brogdon. Now, I know this comes as a surprise to some people, but Scoot Henderson is starting to look like he was worth the second pick in the draft, and I think the Blazers third pick in the draft. I think the Blazers need to be poised to accumulate as many draft picks and young pieces as possible. Brogdon is one of the most efficient guards in the league, and he's a great option for just about any franchise out there. Biggest problem is most teams have a few guards they're set on, so I don't think there's going to be a ton of options out there, but they're going to grab something. The Miami Heat or Minnesota Timberwolves come to mind, specifically for Malcolm Brogdon. Miami being a destination for Brogdon, that all hinges on whether Zach LaVine is available. But if not, they'll come in, scoop up Brogdon, who can start for them immediately, really allow Kyle Lowry to kind of take a step back, flourish off the bench, and see what you can cook up there. Minnesota, it's purely because Mike Conley is turning 36 this year. You got to keep your options open. You know, may find themselves in a position of need at that point guard spot pretty soon. I'm really kind of excited just to see where this trade deadline brings, what it'll bring. We're starting to get close to being able to make some playoff and championship predictions for the NBA as well. So we'll keep an eye on the trades as the month moves forward. We'll cover them when a big one comes up, and then we'll get into making some NBA playoffs and finals predictions, maybe some draft predictions as well, the later and later we get into the season. So keep an eye out for that. And I just want to thank each and every one of our listeners for joining me for our debut. This is going to be an incredible journey, and I'm already having a ton of fun with it. I'm loving what I'm doing here, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. I want to give a special shout out to Brittany Stalker for our logo design. You can find her at A Shadows Art on Instagram. That's at A-S-H-A-D-O-W-S-A-R-T on Instagram, A Shadows Art, and check out the rest of her past, present, and future projects. You can find us on Facebook at The Hive with Devin Beasley or on Instagram at The Hive DB. That's at THEHIVEDB, The Hive DB. Check us out on our website at thehivedb.podbean.com. And again, to all of our listeners, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, thanks for joining us today. You have been listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get all the buzz on all sports all across the nation. I'll see you guys next Thursday.